The committee will come to order. Thank you. Today we convene to consider the nomination of Mr. Todd Corporate to serve as the first Secretary of Data. This is a historic role reflecting the increasing importance of data in our government, economy, and society. Mr. Corporate brings a distinguished background, and his leadership will be instrumental in ensuring that our nation's data policies are forward-thinking, ethical, and impactful. During today's hearing, we will explore Mr. Corporate's vision for a national data strategy and his plans to balance security, accessibility, and interoperability across federal agencies. On a personal note, I am disappointed that there seems to be little interest in data among committee members, as Senator Ostick is the only committee member present. Nevertheless, I look forward to a productive discussion. Mr. Corporate is Senior Vice President for Data Operations at Megacorp and is recognized as a visionary in the areas of data strategy, data governance, and needlepoint. Mr. Corporate, you may proceed with your opening comments.
Thank you, Chairman Proctor, and thank you to the committee for the opportunity to participate in today's important hearing. I believe that we are facing a data crisis at all levels throughout the country. Individuals are increasingly seeing their personal information flowing onto the dark web, leading to an epidemic of identity theft and fraud. Companies are generating more data than ever before, but for the most part, we have no idea where it is, what it is, or how to use it. The same can be said for local, state, and federal governments. The time has come to approach data, and especially data governance, differently. I look forward to your questions, and thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Corporate. The chair yields minutes to Senator Ostick. You may begin.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman, and welcome, Mr. Corporate. I appreciate the time you spent meeting with me in this past week, and I read your 90-day brief, and I share your concern about the state of information management in this country. As you know, I spent more than 20 years managing information systems before being elected to the Senate. Through more than three terms, I have advocated for a Secretary of Data, and it is gratifying to see that position created. While you, Mr. Corporate, are an impressive young man, I find you to be wholly unqualified for this critical position for many reasons. But most concerning to me is a total lack of concern for the critical foundations of data governance. I have your brief here with me, and I see nothing in it about metadata, stewardship councils, or an enterprise data model. How do you explain your lack of solid foundational work?
Senator, I appreciate and understand your perspective on information management and data governance, but that approach has been repeatedly proven unsuccessful. I'd rather not go so far down into the weeds like data modeling. Furthermore, other factors like ethics and monetization are critical now. If you
look at— That's exactly what I'm talking about, and I do want to get down into the weeds. You need to be in the weeds with the data. Instead, you toss about these fluffy, abstract concepts, but I'm a firm believer in blocking and tackling. I'm a blocker and a tackler. You have to know how to use the tools before you can build the house. And I've been building houses, looks like, twice as long as you've been alive.
The chair will remind the senator not to make inappropriate comments about the nominee's age. Please continue and bear in mind that your time is limited.
How can my time be limited? There are only two of us here. My apologies to the witness. Since my time is apparently limited, please answer yes or no. Understanding relationships between data is important.
It's possible to capture the relationships between—
Please answer yes or no.
It's not a yes or no question.
Sure it is. Understanding relationships between data is important or it's not important. Your inability to answer such a simple question leads me to conclude that enterprise conceptual and logical data models are not important to you.
Look, that's so in the weeds. Relationships among the data are important, but nobody—
Yes or no?
Nobody needs to create a data model from scratch anymore.
Again, I will take that as a no.
The senator's time has expired. The chair yields minutes to itself. Before I begin questions, did you want to finish your previous answer?
Yes, thank you, Senator. It's not necessary to create data models from scratch. It's a waste of time and money. Industry models are commonly available, and you can even ask generative AI to produce a data model for you. Yes, it's important to understand the relationships, but it can be done in a more efficient way. But let's get out of the weeds.
Yes, I would appreciate that. Now, I too appreciate the time we spent
in my office last week. I found your approach—
Hey, that must be the pizza guy. Hit pause.
Got it.
Thank you.
Lunchtime.
And showtime.
This is John Ladley.
And Mark Cooper. Welcome to the Rock Bottom Data Feed.
Sounds like Todd Corporate has some work to do to convince Senator Ostick that data governance is changing. We'll get back to the hearings later.
It's going to be hard for some of the longtime data governance folks to embrace a new mindset.
I resemble that remark. But you're right. Speaking as a longtime data governance person, we do need a new mindset. The things we've been doing aren't working, or at least not well enough. We need a new generation of data governance.
At the recent DGIQ conference presented by Dataversity, we talked with several people about the state of data governance. In this episode of the Rock Bottom Data Feed, we begin a three-part series that explores how data governance has changed and how we can overcome some of its challenges.
We'll hear from pioneers and visionaries of data governance. We start with Gwen Thomas, who was the original owner of the URL, datagovernance.com. And that's where I want to start. Initially, this conversation was going to have a different tone, but a good friend of mine was recently fired, a very competent data governance leader and someone who has added enormous value in the past. But according to the boss, he didn't make it happen. This isn't uncommon, and the initial reaction from data professionals is we were let down again, but management says you did not deliver. So let's break down these opposite views. When someone tells me that their foray into data governance caused an unscheduled career change, they go on and on about management this and management that. Well, kids, this is not a management issue. These are communications issues. A lot of people charged with doing governance do not have the innate communications and other skills to do transformative work. So we need to educate ourselves and data professionals more. When the problems start, they need to be addressed and elevated. Or, well, that happens. Now, what about management being let down? My friend, again, a proven track record across many different cultures. In this case, whatever was tried was met with resistance and no air cover of any sort. Leadership would not sit still for 30 minutes to listen. And in this case, executive person, you fired the wrong person. There's four areas we keep forgetting until we learn we're all going to keep doing this. One, perception. Data governance doesn't fix anything. It's oversight. Leadership, listen. Stop turning a deaf ear. Two, the world's changed. Oversight of data assets and data supply chains are required. AI alone is forcing us to do this. My friend asked leadership, please tell your peers we need to make some changes and provide the air cover for that. And my friend was told, oh, I can buy you that tool, but I can't do air cover. That's too risky. That's really poor leadership. Three, get over yourself, everyone. Data governance is an expansion of a long-tested and tried-and-true concept of checks and balances. That is all it does. Leaders, stop making the grandstand play of indignation about another hairball IT project. You're just wasting your political capital and looking silly. Data folks, your data skills are needed, but you are not on management's radar, and you are not owed anything until you get their attention. Four, everyone learn new things. Data governance is essential, but that means change has to happen. Leaders, in the 1980s, the U.S. auto industry was failing and TQM, total quality, was the cure, and it was ignored, and then we had a disaster. We are in a similar situation with data governance. Data folks, you don't have the required skills. Go get them. The next time the CIO says, we need to get rid of Ms. Smith, as this is all being disruptive, give Ms. Smith the benefit of the doubt. Look deeper. Is the communication there? Has management even been bothering to listen? Is the CIO deep in the weeds? Is the data team deep in the weeds? Don't just manage. Lead and learn. Don't terminate. Otherwise, you are on the path to look pretty silly, and in no way, no way will you ever be data driven.
We're here at DGIQ East 2024 with Gwen Thomas, the Grand Dame of Data Governance. Gwen, welcome to Rock Bottom.
Thank you so much.
So tell us a little bit about
you know, what you've been working on and what you've been thinking about lately.
Well, you know, I have been thinking, pondering the last 20 years of data governance and where we are and where we are going and all the whys that go along with that. Yes, hows, but mostly whys. And my conclusion of a year or so ago, I have been validated. You know, we are at an event right now, and one of the things I love is when great minds come to the same conclusion, even though they haven't collaborated on it. And the theme here has been what I've spent the whole last year looking at, disruption, and the why behind data governance. Why does this deserve to become an acknowledged discipline? Which it wasn't when I first got involved. And what are we trying to accomplish? And I've heard so much talk about the legacy era of data governance, which, of course, I was part of, and teaching, carving it out of data management, carving it out of IT.
That's probably a little bit modest of a description, but okay.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yes, that was quite disruptive itself 20 years ago to say that how we think about data, what we decide to do to it, with it, for it, matters, and that's not a technology decision. And now let's make sure that we have a generation of workers who are thinking in this way and have the tools of the trade and the skills to do it. And, you know, I am so proud to have been part of that era, which I tend to think of now as the legacy era, focus on remedial effort. What I'm thinking about now is we are clearly in an era which I think is value-centered data governance. And I've heard that comment from so many people here now. How do we add value? How do we enable value? How do we protect the value that is assumed to come from our resources?
And how do we collect it, recognize it, communicate it, make that point to our companies, make that point to our enterprise?
Absolutely.
And I think there's been a little bit of lack of visibility of the benefit brought by data governance. And actually the what's enabled by having that good data, having that good governance.
And, you know, the value of our contributions over time, the perception of it has actually shrunk. Why? Because 20 years ago, 15 years ago, this remedial work was standing in the way of organizations going to the next level. We've done that. Of course, there's more work to do. There is always work to be done, and many organizations are still addressing remedial. Many are in maintenance mode. But the question appears to be, is that all there is to it? Have you just become a control function? And it's great to hear other minds in the industry saying, no. Now we get to move on to the next phase. How do we focus on top line value?
So this is something that builds on data governance expertise or data governance competence, you want to look at it that way, that already exists? Or is it a disruption in base level of competency or that base level of capability? Where there have been decades in some instances of we're trying to do it, we're having a hard time doing it, we're not getting traction, and everything we try seems to be met with a brick wall. And so there needs to be a disruption even in that base level of data governance practice.
Well, I'm going to pick door number three.
Okay.
Because while I agree that there have been many cases where we've tried, We didn't succeed. There have also been so many cases where great success has occurred. And there have been new generations of organizations that are born in the digital age in which governance by design is part of their infrastructure. And you don't notice them succeeding because they wouldn't exist if they weren't succeeding. Yep. So my door number three is it disrupting those who are working on little g governance? Let's focus on the data. Let's fix the data. Let's control it. Or the remedial big G governance, which is let's put policies and standards in place. We're not really disrupting that. Yes, we are building on it. It's that we're growing the pie. We are showing these are other ways that we add value.
I see.
These are other specialties within the field that require the systems thinking, that require the language of working with executives to show, that needs to happen, but here we go.
So what are some examples of those?
Well, you know, I just had a conversation with someone who is on the advisory board of their company on the use of AI. And I asked her, what are the conversations about? She said, do the decision makers, the corporate who expect to develop a profit center about this, do they recognize that data is a component of this? Yeah, of course. Do they accept the concept that this works if the data meets their expectations? Well, of course. Do they accept the concept, and John, you and I were talking about this before, of there is top-line revenue, there are costs of goods and sold, and then there is your gross profit, and then, you know, long below that is overhead. Do they accept that? Of course. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, what you know, and you have to discover how well they know it, is that the cost of goods and services is at risk of being so much higher than they think. And the potential value of those costs and goods are at risk of being much less than they expect. And she said, but I want to talk about implementing data standards, and we start by changing the names of the fields. And I said, so you're talking about a level one process, and you want to dive down to a level seven detail? You're on the friggin' board. You need them to understand that their understanding of the risk that they need to understand to make informed decisions needs adjusting.
Oh, yeah, to tie the risk to the nonconformance.
Yeah.
Because in some enterprises, some organizations, you know, the summer intern has as much power as the senior vice president when it comes to either you know, well, we're going to do it this way, without any connection between that decision and all of these downstream consequences. Why would you bother going to the effort of trying to be consistent?
So this is a perfect example of how this strategic, value-centered contribution builds upon the skills. We would say you have, consciously or not, allocated decision rights down to an inappropriate level.
Yep.
Now, if you can live with that, if you can live with the consequences of that, then you have made an informed choice. If you cannot live with those consequences, you need to reallocate decision rights. Now, we have included that within data governance frameworks, but gosh, doesn't it appear in almost every management framework too?
You would think so. Yeah.
You would think.
Absolutely, but...
And I am telling you that is a high-risk decision to that will impact either the value of your goods or the cost.
Right, because there needs to be both the recognition of it, but then in some respects, the quantification of those consequences. And it seems some of the times either those aren't recognized or aren't tied back to that specific decision or that misallocation of decision rights. You don't have that direct cause and effect.
So I would ask a corporate leader, someone who is sitting on the boards, sitting in the C-suite, are you just expecting your chief data officer to keep things running and keep remediating, or do you consider them in charge of the team of experts in data risk that you can call upon to help you make informed choices? Yep.
Because that really involves everybody.
No, I'm going to push back on that again.
Okay.
The person who is sitting on the data assembly line, who is labeling the data, classifying it, fixing it, they need to know how to take orders. They need to know to do it. They also need to have clear instructions on what they should escalate. But I believe it is a unique set of skills to take that input, understand the risk, and apply it to the systems of systems that are modern organizations.
Right. No, I'm not suggesting that everyone has decision rights or everybody has their independent approaches, but that everybody needs to understand that there is an impact. You know, what they do with the data, well, if they ignore that, then they need to understand that there's going to cause problems. They need to recognize
at
that
at least
that
for those, them.
For them, well, but they also need to understand that those instructions exist and are coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a lot of cases, you may have folks that are blissfully unaware when it comes to data or their responsibility when it comes to data.
Well, that's an accountability problem that needs to trickle down.
So, Gwen, a lot of your input to us here has been kind of I'm going to use overused term, but at the business level of what we need to think about and how we need to think about these things. But part of this transition or reset or start over that we've been hearing is a theme. This reset means some things have to be done differently.
Absolutely.
So just so if I'm a fearful data architect, what can you tell me about the future here? What do I need to gear up for? Where do I need to put my head? Things like that.
So Mark had talked about things that are everyone's responsibility, and I'm going to push back a little and say it may not be your responsibility to totally understand how your business works and what the values are and the risks. It is absolutely your responsibility to get the instructions, the information from those who are part of the strategic team. I mean, we can't all be strategic.
No.
Most of us are tactical, but in any field, if you are architecting something, you need to get input from those who understand the risks and the consequences and the likelihood. You need to get that input from people who can affect systemic change. And so if you are fearful that in earlier phases you were on the strategic edge, because what mattered was remediation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or what mattered was getting from client server to the next architecture and next, fine. If you find yourself no longer in that inner circle, it's okay. But have the conversation. Make sure you know what the strategic goals are and how your architecture is supposed to support them. Know what your value objectives are and your risk objectives, your control objectives.
Very good. Very, very good.
And if you are in a C-suite, if you are If you are allocated a spot at the table where the big decisions are made about prioritization, risk acceptance, funding allocation, those very high-level decision rights and accountabilities, here is the big thing that you need to change. You need to accept that data, whether it is a monetizable asset, it is input to other goods and services, it is informing your decisions, it is at risk, it represents risk, and you need to make sure that you are getting the information you need to make informed decisions. And that means, let's just assume you have a chief data officer. If you are expecting your chief data officer to have every staff member performing billable work, tactical work, you're setting yourself up for not getting the signals you need. Mm-hmm. They must have wonks. They must have people who understand the data risk. You must protect your data supply chains the same way you protect other supply chains.
Very good. Gwen Thomas, thank you so much. As always, hearing from the Dame of Data Governance is tremendous. We ask every...
BLT. Oh, this isn't the Colbert.
No.
Okay.
But we do ask guests to... common questions.
Okay.
Number one, in the context of your profession and data and your work, what person, a living or dead, famous or not famous, has influenced you the most to get where you've got?
Oh. Okay, this is going to be probably surprising.
Okay.
I did not come to this field directly. I wandered through other fields and early in my career felt like I could not possibly be worthy of a voice. The person that influenced me was Larry English, not because of all of his work in data quality, but because he had a column in a magazine called Plain English. And he translated these complex ideas into solid, digestible, understandable ideas. I read that and said, I'm good at that. Maybe that's the one skill that can get me into this field. I was so glad I got a chance to thank him for that.
That's great. And you got a chance because we lost Larry a couple of years ago.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Okay. So the second question, you're doing your work, you're going through what you do, and you have a chance to hire this really successful consultant named Harry Potter. And you're going to bring Harry Potter into a client, and Harry's going to cast a spell. And that spell's going to do one thing, and without any questions or qualifications, that's going to happen, and it will be the way you want it to be. What is the one spell you want Harry Potter to cast?
You ask weird questions, but
is
I will
spell?
Answer.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you.
No, do you want me to answer?
Absolutely.
Mind expando. Expand your mind to understand this key concept that your future success depends upon taking seriously this thread of expectations, behaviors, control objectives, and all of the infrastructure and processes behind it.
That's one of the most interesting answers we've ever had on this.
I like that.
Mind expando.
Ooh.
Wow, that's light. Gwen, thank you very much for the time and sitting down with us here at the Rock Bottom Data Feed. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I've always wanted to hit rock bottom.
Well, you've made it.
Yay. Years of dedication and practice, and we're here. All right.
That was great, guys. Thank you.
And cut.
And thanks to our sponsor, returning for this season, Hubris Data Pros. If you really want to fundamentally transform your company's data governance practices, you will definitely need Hubris. Welcome to Dispatches from Rock Bottom, dredging up practical information, advice, and food for thought. It was an honor to sit down and chat with Gwen Thomas about data governance. She had some great insights into the current state of the field and about the potential to build upon it, growing the pie and generating value for the organization. She was also more positive than most, specifically mentioning the successes seen in digital native companies. The challenge is that many of the people I spoke with work for companies that long predate the digital age, the legacy companies. There, the story is a little different. These organizations have been struggling with the same information management and data governance challenges for decades. Certainly, we've seen traction in some places, and those organizations are reaping the benefits, but show of hands, how many of us would say that data governance has been broadly successful? Probably not many. And it's such a contrast with other data and analytics innovations through the years. There's been big data and cloud and now AI, and data governance has been a constant presence throughout, but hasn't seen the same levels of success. All this time, we've been trying the same approaches and the same methodologies with the same non-success, and you know what they say about insanity. The first step in any recovery program is acceptance, and we have to accept that data governance as a discipline has failed. It's stupefying and it's frustrating. Everybody knows what needs to be done. We have fantastic resources, frameworks, books, practitioners, conferences, and methodologies. The depth of knowledge is greater in this area than most anywhere else in data and analytics. You heard from one of the pioneers of the field in this podcast, and my co-host wrote the book. In this season of the Rock Bottom Data Feed, and especially in the next couple episodes, I'll talk more about the wholesale disruption in data governance that I believe is needed for all companies to be successful, both legacy and digital native. Between now and next time, the one thing you can do is to inventory the controls that already exist in your company and think about how those controls might be applied to data. That's what I think. We'd love to hear your stories if you're willing to share. Write us at rockbottom@counterthreadedproductions.com.
And thanks again to our sponsor, Hubris Data Pros, reminding you that any resemblance to actual events, persons, or businesses, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Seen the benefits to organizations that have successfully incorporated data governance into their culture and into their standard operating procedures. But even then, it's usually a struggle, and the successes are often limited to certain specific areas. Maybe yours is one that has been successful across the enterprise. If so, then congratulations. Get in touch and let us know how you did it.
We'll continue our conversation about data governance in the next episode, but until then, this has been John Ladley and Mark Cooper for the Rock Bottom Data Feed. Thanks for listening, and remember, when you're here, you've reached rock bottom. You can find more information about the topics covered in this episode, the fuss about data governance, now what, at our website, counterthreadedproductions.com. The Rock Bottom Data Feed is a Counterthreaded production, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.